Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krumrie. Thank you for tuning in. A Superior Court judge in Anchorage has dismissed a significant portion of a lawsuit filed by supporters of Alaska's ranked choice voting. Judge Christina Rankin ruled last week that the Division of Elections acted properly earlier this year when it gave sponsors of a repeal petition an opportunity to correct problems with petition booklets they submitted to the division. The decision brings a group called Alaskans for Honest Elections one step closer to getting a measure on the November ballot that would repeal elections reforms that Alaskan voters adopted in 2020. The measure aims to get rid of ranked choice voting in Alaska. It would also end Alaska's current primary election style, in which all candidates appear on the same ballot. The repeal measure would restore the use of partisan primaries. Three voters, represented by Anchorage attorney Scott Kendall, sued to block the repeal measure, saying repeal sponsors shouldn't have been allowed to fix deficits in their petitions after they turned them in. The most common problem was that dozens of booklets weren't properly notarized because the notary's commission had expired. And a search is underway for a missing Ketchikan woman. 48-year-old Christiana Watt was reported missing around 8 p.m. Monday night near Ward Lake, a very popular recreation area north of town. According to Alaska State Troopers, Watt's car, a single Range Rover Evoque, was located in the parking lot of the Ward Lake Recreation Area with her phone and wallet inside. Troopers have partnered with the U.S. Forest Service and the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad in searching the area. Jerry Kiefer is the North Tongass Fire Chief with local volunteer search and rescuers.
Last night, we sent our Hasty teams out and ground teams out and searched pretty much all of the surrounding trails. We were operating until about probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Kiefer says they covered most of the hiking trails in the hours after Watt was reported missing. Tuesday, the troopers brought in a canine search and rescue team from Juneau called Sea Dogs to help canvas the heavily timbered area. Kiefer says no one had seen Watt for a couple days before her car was found at Ward Lake. But hours before troopers declared her missing, there was a ping from her Apple Watch,
which we now know was Bluetooth to the cell phone. And that Apple Watch confirmed that she was there at, or the Apple Watch was there at about 12:30.
Kiefer says they're concentrating their search on the shores of the lake and its tributaries by foot, by boat, and by helicopter, as well as Ward Cove, where the water flows out of the lake into the Tongass Narrows. Kiefer says they found several clues, but none that can be directly linked to Watt yet. It's unknown what she was wearing when she disappeared. At this time, troopers aren't considering Watt's disappearance suspicious. And Chilkat weaving, a sacred fiber art of the Thlinget, Haida, and Tsimshian people of the Pacific Northwest coast, is characterized by formline designs in black, white, yellow, and vibrant blue-greens. Until now, the dye technique used to produce those iconic colors wasn't fully understood. As KTOO's Anna Canny reports, museum curators, chemists, and Alaska Native weavers united to solve the mystery.
The Chilkat robes on display at the Alaska State Museum feature formline faces woven with yarn. The ceremonial garments combine once vibrant yellows that have softened with age with warm black browns and striking blues and greens. Museum curator Ellen Carley and her collaborators wanted to figure out where those classic pigments come from. She presented their research findings during celebration in Juneau.
With only three colors to review, how hard could it be? Much harder than we anticipated.
Color Curiosity evolved into the Chilkat Dye Working Group, a collaboration that brought together museum curators, chemists, and Alaska Native weavers from Alaska, Washington, and Oregon to study historic and modern dye techniques. They spent the last 5 years examining samples from historic Chilkat robes in the museum collections and concocting new dye formulas from scratch. Dye-making experiments over the years have revealed an abundance of yellow.
You might think that if you took, say, like a lupin or an iris, and you're like, wow, I'm going to get a purple dye. And you grind that up and you put it in a dye bath, you get yellow. Like, it's really easy to get yellow dyes. Even out of weeds, out of plants that grow all over the place, getting yellow dyes is pretty easy.
That's because dye making is not about the color of your material. It's about the chemicals inside it. The blonde inner bark of the western hemlock, for example, is packed with a chemical called tannins, which produces a deep reddish-brown dye for yarn. Dip that yarn into a solution of copper or iron, and it transforms into a rich black. Chemists found these chemicals on even the oldest Chilkat robes they tested, which means a lot of the yarn was colored with natural dyes. The chemical analysis on the historic robes also matched up with oral histories that have been passed down through generations of Chilkat weavers. Traces of wolf moss were found in the yellow dyes. The bright green lichen doesn't grow in the Tongass. It was traded from drier regions, and it's still used as a natural dye today. As for the vibrant blues on the historic robes, Carly says most of that dye was synthetic. Modern weavers can extract blues and greens from processing copper.
But the yarns that were visually minty green on our historic samples did not have copper in them, even though visually the color looks the same. So it's still a mystery.
Today, weavers are exploring the possibility of making a natural blue from chocolate lilies or a local mushroom called the bleeding tooth fungus, even as the formal dye research is wrapping up. Renowned Juno weaver Lily Hope says this kind of modern-day experimentation, which blends science and art, has been one of the most inspiring things to come out of the research collaboration.
Just because the results have been released into the world doesn't mean the research ends, or that we're like, now we figured it all out. There's always more to discover and more to collaborate on.
The blues were not the only synthetic dyes in the historic weavings. Many garments combine natural dyes and synthetic dyes. Chemical analysis reveals that synthetic blues were sometimes over-dyed with natural yellows to create unique blue-greens. And black borders on the robes were often woven with natural dyed yarns, but the intricate form-line centers were created with synthetic dyed yarns. Today, store-bought materials and synthetic dyes are readily available, but Hope says making and using natural dye is a part of the artistry that goes into weaving.
I always ask my students, what is the story that you are telling with your art? What is the story of the work when it's done, where you can say, I gathered these, you know, handfuls of mountain goat. I traded 5 different art pieces for this yellow cedar bark. So when we use the historic materials and the historic dyes, what is the story we're telling with a piece of work made that way?
And the more weavers know about dye techniques past and present, the more stories they can tell. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
And Juneau Animal Rescue removed over 50 cats from a Juneau residence this month and still has more to bring in. Many are young kittens and many are sick. We spoke with the organization and the cats, and we have this story.
Come on back. And I'll show you, we're down to 3 empty kennels, and I'm a little concerned because we've got to go out and get some more today.
Animal Control Officer Karen Wood opens the door to a room swimming with tiny kittens.
16 kittens and 13 moms, okay. So it's going to stink in here.
Many of these cats and kittens have severe respiratory illnesses and parasites, but she's optimistic they'll all recover. And since the rescue, none of the animals have died. Woods says an extreme number of cats like this can start with just 2 unaltered adults. Cats in the same litter can breed with each other, and it can snowball from there. The cost to spay and neuter and care for that many cats would quickly become unmanageable.
It's just so important, spaying and neutering. If 2 cats had been spayed and neutered, then we would have 52 less cats in one household.
She says this is the largest number of cats she's seen in a rescue situation in her 10 years of working at the rescue. And this influx of cats means that the rescue won't be able to take more for a while. So people who are hoping to surrender a cat may have to wait longer than usual. She's worried about moving all of these animals into homes, but she says the kittens will likely be adopted quickly, and they can send cats to other parts of Alaska if they don't get adopted here.
But we work with Paws and Claws in Skagway and Hark and Haines, and even have sent cats up to Fairbanks. So, if we get to that point, we can talk to them about that. If they're here for months, obviously other places will take some.
They've had to shuffle cats around to make room to isolate the sick animals. But the undersized ventilation system means other cats in the building aren't fully protected. That's according to Rick Driscoll, executive director at the rescue.
It's really just some doors. That's all we have. From a best practice perspective, we'd like to have multiple ventilation systems.
Juneau Animal Rescue is raising money to move into a bigger space. Driscoll says their current space is half the size recommended for an organization that serves so many animals. When the organization first posted about these cats, Driscoll says the community donated nearly $10,000 to help fund spay and neuter operations at a lower cost and for the new building fund.
It was really overwhelming how many people chose to, within like a 12-hour period, donate money to help us with this particular situation.
More information about fostering animals can be found at JunoAnimalRescue.org. They're also offering highly reduced rabies vaccines for existing pets that live in homes where owners want to foster. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.